In the mountains of Junin, Peru is a small farm. This farm has been owned and worked by the Tor family for over 10 years. And what are they farming? Incredible coffee. And for the first time, it's coming directly to the U.S. thanks to our friends at Nonfiction Coffee. Nonfiction Coffee believes how your coffee is made really matters. And thanks to this partnership, the Tor family is making double what they would make through other outlets. This not only helps them increase their production, but also increase the quality of their crop. Find out more and get 10% off your orders by visiting nonfiction.coffee/goodgrit. That's nonfiction.coffee/goodgrit. Welcome to the Good Grit Stories podcast, a weekly podcast telling stories of hope, compassion, and the perseverance of the human spirit. Brought to you by Good Grit Magazine, the character of the South. You can find out more about the podcast and the magazine at goodgritmag.com. Now on to this week's story.
What if your life was Yelped? Words by Jeffrey Heine, read by Matt Godfrey. It was 1965, and Bob Dylan had just betrayed his generation with an electric guitar. At least, that's how the myth of Newport goes. One of the most prolific and celebrated songwriters of the 20th century had people booing. Long, loud boos. The reviews were in. Dylan was Judas. One star. Do you know who leaves one-star reviews? People who are miserable. Now, they could be people who feel miserable, or they are just insufferable people. Either way, they don't have the decency to stay home and be content to keep their misery all to themselves. Oh no, they have to drive into the city and visit the new tapas bar. And by the end of the evening, they feel compelled to let the world know their unfiltered and unsolicited opinion. They come in with their unreasonable expectations, they make their unjust assessments, and they vote with their single star. What if someone reviewed you? Not your work or your business, you. Just your life, reviewed the way people use Yelp. Think of it. Your former dating partners, childhood friends, old roommates, or your parents. What do you think they would say?
Greg has really lost all the charm and fun he used to have. I can remember 20 years ago enjoying summer afternoons with him, mostly making forts or riding bicycles. Maybe it's the new management or his job and a family, but things have been very downhill. Thanksgiving and Christmas are two busier times, and Greg doesn't take reservations. Be sure to wear a jacket. Greg's childhood friend, one star.
Would you leave a follow-up comment disputing their claims? Would you thank them for their feedback and request direct messaging? How many stars would they leave for your life? Robert Frost said, "Thinking isn't agreeing or disagreeing. That's voting." Yelp and other crowdsourced review formats reinforce the notion that more than people being thinking things, we are to be voting things. Thinking has the freedom to change, to progress, and to regress. Voting means making the definitive choice, no takebacks. Don't get me wrong, there are plenty of times in life in which we need to vote. But what if we are spending too much of our time voting on the wrong things?
I went to Lisa's apartment on a Tuesday night. It wasn't too crowded, just Lisa and me. I waited for 10 minutes for someone to take my drink order. No straw, no ice, tasted like tap water. I could barely hear over the house music. She kept saying, "At the end of the day," which was just terrible. Overall, it was fine. Be sure to wear a jacket. Dan S., two stars.
Here's a fun exercise. The next time you see a one-star review on Yelp, click the person's profile and see what other reviews they have offered society. You'll almost certainly find the profile of a serial one-star reviewer. Why does this happen? We have a culture that believes one's personal opinions are not merely valid, they are necessary. I know we can't entirely blame the flurry of reality TV competition shows like American Idol, X Factor, America's Got Talent, and Dancing with the Stars, but they certainly haven't helped. They feed the myth that the world needs to hear my votes on a slate of non-issue issues. Far too often in my own life, my impulse to vote overrides the necessity of thinking. What is striking about the rise of the tyranny of the vote is the simultaneous, and perhaps even correlated, distancing from caring about what other people think. Today, our opinions are more solicited than ever, and at the same time, our opinions are devalued by a culture that says, you do you.
Things started off fine, but I can't recommend entirely. Stan was a good baby, ate and slept well. Childhood was okay. But the teen years were just meh. Not the worst kid I've raised, but certainly not the best. Be sure to wear a jacket. Mom, 3 stars.
There must be a different way, a better way, to experience and examine the world around us. Isn't there a way to acknowledge the validity of our thinking, to determine the meaningful occasions for our voting, and to curb the impulse to export our every opinion to the people around us? I believe this way of the experienced and examined life can come about if we slow down enough to consider whether we would want our own lives reviewed and voted on based on the criteria we so often impose on others. Living meaningfully amidst the tension of thinking and voting requires a humility that soberly examines oneself and then extends the same compassion we desire from others. In other words, you have to learn to yelp unto others as you would have them yelp unto you. A few months after his infamous performance at Newport, Dylan gave a rare press conference in San Francisco. For 45 minutes, he was the embodiment of elusive cool. But when asked about the booing, he listed every city on his recent tour where he had not been booed. Dylan wasn't keeping a record of wrongs, but he was certainly paying attention. He offered this whimsical yet insightful comeback.
I mean, they must be pretty rich to be able to go someplace and boo. I couldn't afford it if I was in their shoes.
May the 1-star review be a luxury you're never rich enough to afford.
Today's story was read by Matt Godfrey with original music by Kyle Carpenter and Wilder Adkins. Make sure to subscribe to Good Grit Stories through your listening app of choice. And if you like Good Grit Stories, please leave us a review. It helps more than you know. As always, you can find these stories and many more at goodgritmag.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter and get a subscription to the magazine. And if you use the promo code GRITTY, you'll get 20% off your subscription. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week for another installment of Good Grit Stories.